Bhagavad-deva-sudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 65, verses 26 and 27. And this is the chapter title is Lord Balaram Visits Vrindavan. How many of you have been to Vrindavan? Wow. And how many of you have been to Vrindavan in your mind by hearing the wonderful stories of Krishna and Balaram? Wonderful. So the first verse, we can chant it together. I'll just chant the first one, and then we'll chant the second one responsibly, okay? Again, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 65, verse 26. Pape tvam mam avagyaya yanayasi mayahuta neshe tvam langale vena shatada kamachari mayam. Pape, we can do this together. Pape, O sinful one, Twam, you, Mam, me, Avagyaya, disrespecting, Yat, because, Na Ayasi, you do not come, Maya, by me, Ahuta, called, Neshe, I will bring. Twam, you, Tangala, of my plow. Agrena, with the tip. Shatada, in 100 parts. Kama, by whim. Charinim, who moves. Translation. Lord Balaram said, O sinful one, disrespecting me, you do not come when I call you, but rather move only by your own whim. Therefore, with the tip of my plow, I shall bring you here in 100 streams. Okay, so this next verse, 27, we'll chant that one responsibly. Evam nirbartish, Evam nirbartita bita. Jamuna Yadunandanam Vacha Chakita Vacham Patita Pandayo Ripa Evam Nirvashita Bita Yamuna Yadunandanam Vacha chakita vacham patita padayor nipa. Vaishnava?
Yeah.
Vaishnavis? Bhaktivedanta Academy. Word for word, evam, thus, nirbarsita, scolded, bita, afraid, Yamuna, the presiding goddess of the river Yamuna, Yadunandanam, to the beloved descendant of Yadu, Lord Balaram. Uvacha spoke, Chakita trembling, Vacham words, Patita fallen, Padayo at his feet, Nipa, O King Parikshit. Shukadeva Goswami continued, thus scolded by the Lord, O King, the frightened river goddess Yamuna came and fell at the feet of Sri Balaram, the beloved descendant of Yadu. Trembling, she spoke to him the following words. Purport. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, the goddess who appeared before Lord Balaram is an expansion of Srimati Kalindi, one of Lord Krishna's queens in Dwarka. Srila Jiva Goswami calls her a shadow of Kalindi, and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti confirms that she is an expansion of Kalindi, not Kalindi herself. Srila Jiva Goswami also gives evidence from Sri Hari Vamsa in the statement Prachuvacharnava Vadhum, that goddess Yamuna is the wife of the ocean. The Hari Vamsa therefore also refers to her as Sagarangana. Om Jnana Timrandasya Jnanjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So imagine being in such a situation as goddess Yamuna and having just committed this offense of not following Lord Balaram's order when he first asked her to come. So you can imagine what it would be like, right? To be so afraid and to be scolded by the Lord, Lord Balaram himself. And when I read this verse in purport, I was thinking of different times that Lord Balaram displays his transcendental anger. So, how many of you know the story of Prahlambasura? So you know, so today we're going to do stories. Is that okay? You guys like to hear stories? Do you find it's easy to remember stories? Okay, and I'm going to give you an extra assignment. I want you to remember the story so well today that that's what you talk about with your friends. Right? If you know you're going to have to share them, and maybe when you go home today, you tell your mother or your father or another one of your brothers or sisters, you tell somebody else about the different stories. Because that's the benefit, one of the great benefits of hearing the Lord's transcendental pastimes is that they, the more you repeat them to others, the more you remember them. So the story of Prahlambasura, remember how Sukadeva Goswami, when he's describing, before he tells the story of Prahlambasura, he tells all the beautiful, about how beautiful it is in the forest of Vrindavan, how even when it's summer, it feels like, no, spring. I heard someone say spring. So even in the summer, wouldn't that be nice here in New Raman Reti, that when the summer season comes, that it just feels like spring? And the cowherd boys, when they go into the forest with the calves, they have so many games. Now, I don't want you talking amongst yourselves. Excuse me. I don't want you talking amongst yourselves. I want you to talk with me. I'll ask you questions, and you'll get to talk that way, okay? So there were lots of different games that the cowherd boys played in the forest. Can anyone tell me what some of the games are? And do it with your hand. Yes. They would imitate the birds. And the monkeys? Thank you, yes. Tug of war, yes. They would play tag. Remember? They would have races with one another. They would get clay out of the Yamuna River and do face paint. Oh, yes. Oh. Wrestle and, I'm sorry, yeah. Yes. No? Okay. They would yell down into the yell and have the echo come back at them. Right. Yes, the boys would go ahead and they'd have a competition. Who would reach Krishna first? They would play leapfrog. They would climb trees together. Yes. Is that Cindy? Yes. Cindy. They would swing from tree to tree like the monkeys. They'd go swimming. I'm sorry? Fruit fights. Food fights. They would play in the Yamuna River, and back there, they would steal one another's lunch bags. Right. Okay, one more. Yes, they did that too. So this particular day, they were having all kinds of fun like this. And a demon by the name of Prahlambasura, he entered undetected. He snuck in as a cowherd boy. And now Krishna and Balaram, they know everything past, present, and future. So they knew this isn't a cowherd boy. He's not one of us. He's a demon. But Krishna welcomed him. Oh, my dear friend, come. We're going to come and join our play, join our games. So Krishna was thinking, okay, how to take care of this demon? So he decided, let's separate. He called all the cowherd boys together and he said, we're going to play in teams. So one team was Krishna's team and one team was Balaram's team. And they decided that whoever the losing team was, they would carry the victorious team on their shoulders, right? So this was all in the Bandhiravana forest, one of the 12 forests of Vrindavan. So they, in their games, Balaram's team was the winners. So then everyone on Balaram's team went on the shoulders of one of Krishna's teammates. So Balaram went on the shoulder of Prahlambasura. Prahlambasura had already figured out that Krishna was strongest of the cowherd boys, and he knew that he was going to have to take care of both Krishna and Balaram, so he chose Balaram first. So when Balaram was on his shoulders, instead of going with the other cowherd boys, he went away and was taking Balaram to a distant place. And Lord Balaram, he could see what was happening, and he became very heavy, like Mount Meru. Like Mount Meru, he became so heavy. So Prahlambasura took his demon form, very big, and decorated with helmet and jewels, and described it was like the cloud carrying the moon. Right? Oftentimes, Lord Balaram is described like the moon, so beautiful, white, and so effulgent, and Lord Balaram was looking down, going, this carrier has changed in so many ways. And when he realized that this carrier, this demon, was taking him away from all his other friends, he became angry. You don't want to make Lord Balaram angry, right? No. So he took his fist and he smashed the head of the demon, and Prahlambasura fell down dead. And it made a big sound in the forest. So all the other cowherd boys, they knew where to come to find him because they heard this big sound. So they ran over, and when they saw the giant body of the demon Prahlambasura, they were all congratulating Lord Balaram. Well done, well done. Right? So that was one of the stories of Lord Balaram. Another one, I was thinking, in Krishna book, and we read this not too long ago in the 10th canto, but when, I'm sorry, it's ahead in the 10th canto. It's after the Prahlambasura story, but before the story where we are right now, when Lord Balaram goes back to Vrindavan to visit. Do you remember when Akrura came on the order of King Kamsa to bring Krishna and Balaram to Mathura? Do you remember that? And how much stress and anxiety that caused all the residents of Vrindavan to have Krishna and Balaram leave? Remember that? So the morning that they were leaving, after the whole scene with the gopis trying to stop the chariot, outside of the town of Vrindavan, Akrura stopped the chariot at the Yamuna River. Remember? And first Krishna and Balaram, they went to take their bath, and it's described that the water of the Yamuna River is so sweet. They enjoyed drinking that water and bathing in that water, and then they returned to the chariot, and they sat down on the chariot. And then Akrura, even though he was their uncle, and by etiquette, he was to be served by Krishna and Balaram, and they were very, they followed that reverence. Still, he took the position because he knew who they were, and he was serving them. So he asked their permission to go himself bathe in the Yamuna River. And when he got to the river, he took his bath, and he was chanting his Gayatri mantra, and he saw Krishna and Balaram in the river. He thought, wait a minute, am I seeing things? So he got out of the river fast, and he went back to the chariot. And there were Krishna and Balaram sitting just as he had left them on the chariot in the shade. And now he was really confused. He went back to the river, and there was Krishna and Balaram. And then they turned into Anantashesh, where Balaram assumed his form of Anantashesh with beautiful white hoods and dressed in bluish garments. And Lord Mahavishnu was laying on Anantashesh, and not only were Mahavishnu and Anantashesh there in the Yamuna River, who else was there? The demigods, Lord Brahma was there, Lord Shiva was there. Some of his great devotees were there. Which devotees are mentioned? Narada Muni and Lord Shiva's there. And no, it says Prahlad Maharaj is there. And the it goes on and on describing all the great devotees that were there visiting. And then the Lord's, his own internal potencies, because they're all of Krishna's energies, also are persons. They were there in their personal forms. And material energy was there, and her expansions and her personal forms. And what were they all doing? They were offering prayers. They were chanting the Lord's glories. And Akura became overwhelmed seeing this is who my Lord Krishna and Balaram are. These are their expansions. So Akura, he was overwhelmed, and then he too began offering very, very beautiful prayers to the Lord. So that we have to remember, because sometimes when Krishna and Balaram are playing in Vrindavan, the residents of Vrindavan, they love Krishna and Balaram, and they just see him according to their loving relationship with him. Some of them see Krishna and Balaram as their own sons. Some of them see him as their best friends. Some of them see him as their lord and master. Some of them see Krishna and Balaram as their beloved, right? So sometimes it's good for us to also remember how great the Lord is, and how everything in this world, everything in the spiritual world, is coming from Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram. So there's another story when Lord Balaram becomes angry. And I bet you guys know this story too. Remember the story of Rukmi? Okay, now, Rukmi, he had already been very inimical to, actually, thank you all for being so attentive. First class is leaving. Thank you, Haripo. See you again next Tuesday. So Rukmi had already been very inimical to Krishna. That's why he didn't want Rukmini to marry, right? He loved his sister so much. He was always very attached to her. So he didn't want Krishna to marry her. And then he wanted her to marry who? Anyone remember? Shishupal. Right. So, but because of Rukmini's attachment to Rukmini, they ended up, some of their children and grandchildren ended up marrying one another. And so they were all together at the occasion of Aniruddha's wedding. Lord Balaram was there, Lord Krishna was there, and many of the other Yadavas were all there at Rukmini's palace in the city of Bhojakata. So after the wedding, and it was a very beautiful wedding, everyone was very happy, big celebration. And after the wedding, there was a group of demoniac kings, very arrogant kings. And the king of Kalinga, he was like their leader. And he told Rukmi that you should defeat Balaram at dice. He's not expert at dice, but he'll never refuse. He's actually addicted to it. So if you challenge him, surely he will accept the challenge. And that's what happened. Rukmi challenged Balaram, and Balaram, he accepted the challenge. And the first round of 100 coins was bet, and Rukmi won. And so every time there was a wager and Lord Balaram lost, the other kings laughed, and they were making fun of him, ridiculing him. So when the stakes were up and Lord Balaram had bet 100,000 coins, Balaram actually won. But Rukmi tried to cheat, saying, I'm the winner. Lord Balaram was shaking with anger. Lord Balaram doesn't like to be cheated. It's described he was shaking with anger like the ocean on a full moon day. It's a nice example, huh? You've seen it. When the moon is full, the ocean waves become very large. And his naturally reddish eyes, became even redder. So then he accepted the wager of 100 million gold coins. We can't even imagine how much money that is. 100 million gold coins. And Lord Balaram won again. And again, Rukmi was cheating, and he said, I've won. And of course, he had all his friends around him ready to say, yes, Rukmi's the winner, Rukmi's the winner. But then a voice from the sky declared, Balaram has fairly won this wager. Rukmi is lying. But again, the wicked kings, they urged on, and Rukmi wouldn't be true. So Lord Balaram, he became even angrier. And they also began taunting Lord Balaram, saying, you're just a cowherd boy. What do you know? What do you know about kingly things like dice? So not only was he angry, but now he was insulted and ridiculed. And then Lord Balaram, very calmly, he picked up his club and he smashed it on the head of Rukmi. And that was it. Rukmi left his body. So the other kings immediately tried to run away, but Lord Balaram also chastised them in various ways. And Lord Krishna, he was there, but he stayed completely neutral. He didn't say anything. He didn't praise Lord Balaram. He didn't chastise him. He just stayed completely quiet. Does anyone know why? Why would he just be totally neutral? Let's see if you can. I know you know Shai Shivrati. Any? Okay, then yes. His wife is Rukmini. He knew better. That was a great answer. That's more than what's even given in Krishna book. Thank you. And his brother's Lord Balaram, he didn't want to hurt his relationship with either of them. So he just stayed quiet. Another story of Lord Balaram exhibiting his anger is the story of Dravida, right? The ape. But that's just two chapters away. So we're going to be reading about that really soon in the Bhagavatam. But you can think about the story. How many of you know the story of Dravida? Who was... Yes, okay. So, and then another story I thought of, that's there in the Bhagavatam, is when the Battle of Kurukshetra started, Lord Balaram didn't want to take sides, the Kurus, the Pandavas. He said, nope, I'm not getting involved. So he decided to instead travel and tour on pilgrimage. And on his tour, he came to the forest of Naimisharanya. So the forest of Naimisharanya is still today a sacred place where sages gather for hearing Krishna Katha. And at this time, there was the beginning of a sacrifice that was going to go on for thousands of years. So all the brahmanas, all the sages, all the saintly persons that had gathered there, they came together to perform this yajna, and they had elected Romaharshana Sutta to be the leader, to be the speaker, and he was seated on the Vyasasan above everyone else's seating places, even though he was junior to many of them, both by birth and by age and even by qualification. So Lord Balaram came there to Naimisharanya, and every single sage and sadhu and saintly person and Brahmin in this assembly, they recognized him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they all got up. They all got up to honor him. And those that were junior to him, they offered their obeisances and praise. Those that were senior to Lord Balaram, they also stood up and then they offered their blessing. But there was one person in that entire assembly who failed to rise and failed to follow the example of his elders, and that was Romaharshana. And the other sages, they had seated Lord Balaram on a raised seat, and they were worshiping him and glorifying him. And at one point, Lord Balaram looked around, and when he saw that Rama Harshana Sutta at no point had ever gotten himself up off of his raised seat and had not offered any respects, any greeting, any blessing, any anything, Lord Balaram became angry. And he considered many things, but then he picked up a piece of kusha grass, and he went over and he struck Ramaharshan Sutta with the kusha grass, and he died. And everybody was in shock. First of all, only Lord Balaram or Lord Krishna, right, could take a piece of kusha grass and use that as a weapon, a powerful enough weapon to just kill someone. And then they didn't know what to do. They had already given their blessings that he would have a very long life because the sacrifice was going to go on for thousands of years, and that he would not have any bodily inconveniences. Nothing would interfere with him heading up this yajna. So now they were perplexed what to do. So they asked Lord Balaram, kind of like, why'd you do that? Now what do we do? And they were respectful, but they were confused what to do. So Lord Balaram, seeing the situation, he said, well, I can bring him back to life again. And actually, Srila Prabhupada and our other acharyas, they say in this regard that nobody can imitate Lord Balaram, because somebody else could kill a Brahmin, could kill a exalted saintly person, but they couldn't bring him back to life again. And so they discussed with Lord Balaram. They said, well, you've chosen to kill him, and you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so we don't want to go back on that. That what's done is done. And Lord Balaram said, well, his body is produced by the Father, so he is the representative of the Father, so all of your benedictions can be transferred to the Son, and he is actually qualified to sit here on the Vyasasan and head up the Yajna. So Lord Balaram gave his blessing to Suta Goswami, and all of the blessings and benedictions of all the sages and brahmanas were transferred to him. And then he also volunteered. He said, and there should also, he agreed with the sages, there should be some other atonement. So please, you decide amongst yourselves what other atonement that could be. What else can I do for you? The sages talked amongst themselves and said, oh, there's a very, very powerful demon that we've not been able to take care of, Balava, so if you can take care of him. So Lord Balaram happily agreed. So that was another wonderful story of how the Lord used his uncommon strength to reestablish religious principles, because that was his duty, to reestablish religious principles. So that was why he took it upon himself to set that example, that one should not sit, one should not be take the position of a teacher or sit on a raised seat and neglect to recognize and honor and respect the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in that regard, I was thinking, well, gee, what a fool I am. I'm willing to come here before you and speak from the Srimad Bhagavatam and sit on a raised seat before devotees who are much more advanced and senior to myself. But I remembered that actually the Vyasasana, the asana in the temple, it's not actually being given to the speaker. The asana is given for our sacred texts. It's actually to respect the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita, the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this seat is given to one who will read from and speak on the Bhagavatam, but it's actually for the sacred text, not for the speaker themselves. And that's why you often see, and it's a good practice for all of us who do speak in the temple, to offer obeisances to the seat of Vyasa before and after class, to remember that ourselves, that this isn't about, the seed isn't being offered to those of us speaking, it's being offered to the sacred literatures, which are the literary incarnations of the Lord himself. So there's one beautiful description that Srila Prabhupada has written in Krishna book that I'd like to conclude the class with, and I'm going to read it because it's so beautiful and powerful. Lord Balaram appeared to be a shining full moon amidst the luminaries in the sky. Lord Balaram is the personality of Godhead, Ananta himself. Therefore, he is beyond the scope of understanding by mind, intelligence, or body. He descended exactly like a human being and behaved in that way for his own purposes. We can only explain his activities as the Lord's pastimes. No one can even estimate the extent of the unlimited demonstrations of his pastimes because he is all-powerful. Lord Balaram is the original Vishnu. Therefore, anyone remembering these pastimes of Lord Balaram will certainly become a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus his life will be successful in all respects. Jai Lord Balaram. Beautiful. So if anyone has anything they'd like to share, any realizations, any questions? Chaitanya Prabhu?
Thank you for that class. I was thinking when you were mentioning about the seat and the Bhagavatam and the respect, and so many times during the Lord's pastimes or his devotees, like Arjuna, when he would come before like the weapon at the bow and arrow at the Swayambhara of Draupadi, first thing he did was he circumambulated and paid his respects to the weapon. I believe that even when Lord Ram came to the Swayambhara of Sita, that he also came and showed his respects. So that's a nice thing.
Yeah, it never hurts to offer respects. Actually, the opposite is there. When in doubt, offer respects. Anyone else? All right, we can end there. Thank you all. Jai Shri Balaram, Jai Krishna Balaram, Jai Shri Radhe Sham, Jai Shri Gaur Nitai, Hare Krishna.